In January 1970, two psychologists, John Darley and Daniel Batson, decided to test the Good Samaritan story. They wondered, do people give help because they are better people, religious? And do people help when they have more time on their hands? So to do this, they went to my alma mater, Princeton Theological Seminary, and chose 40 students. And they had individual interviews with them and told them that that morning they will be given a test. 20 of them were told, you have to preach on the Good Samaritan story. You have a few minutes to prepare, but you have to go to another building to give the sermon. 20 students were told, you're going to talk about the careers in church. So think about that, and you'll go to the next room, next building, and make a speech on that. Some students were told, you have to go right now because they're waiting for you. Others were told, you have 1 minute to go. Others were told, you have about 15 minutes to go. Well, on the way to this second building, there was a man who was lying there by the door as if he was sick, or he wasn't quite sure what he was, but he was slumped over and kind of just standing there. Well, guess what the result was? 60% of these future ministers did not even look at this man and went straight to the building to give their sermon. It didn't matter whether they were going to talk about the Good Samaritan or about how to become a better minister. 60% hardly saw the man, and they walked to the next building. But people who were told they had some time on their hand, about 60% of those people stopped by and looked at this man, talked to him, and tried to offer him some help. People who thought they had just a little bit of time kind of said hello, but then they went on their way. People who were told, you have to be right there at the next building. Even those people who had to preach on the Good Samaritan, they literally stepped over the man to go and make his speech about the Good Samaritan. So when I learned about that experiment, I didn't feel so bad about the high priest and the Levite who did not see this man who was lying by the side of the road, beaten up, left for dead, with nothing on him, not even his clothes. The conclusion that these psychologists drew was that when you're busy, people are not willing to help other people. When they made that conclusion, I decided, wow, look at us, how busy we are, right? I mean, our dreams about when we were younger that by the time we retired, we'll be only working 3 days and there'll be 4 days of rest. Now, more and more men are working 50, 60, 70 hours. And the women are no better either. They're having to work as well. So in our busy lives, how does God expect us to be good Samaritans? How can we become good Samaritans in such a busy society with the busy schedules that we lead? What is the secret? In Jesus' day, there were two schools of thought among the Jewish scholars, Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Hillel. One day, a heathen man came to Rabbi Shammai, and he stood on one leg. And he asked the rabbi, Rabbi, as I'm standing on this one leg, tell me, explain to me the law. And the rabbi got angry at him and threw him out. Well, he went to Rabbi Hillel and asked him the same question, again, standing on his 1 foot. And the rabbi told him this. Let me give the exact words. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah, while the rest is the commentary on it. Go and learn it. In other words, he was giving the negative form of the golden rule that Jesus talked about. So what Jesus says is nothing new, but what Jesus does is important. He says the love of God and love of neighbor are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Yet, Jesus gives an order to it. The love of God comes first. Love of God, love of neighbor comes next. Because when there is no love of God that you've experienced, how can we continue to love people who are so unlovable? Sometimes, you know, we do try to help people. And we have a saying in our society, right? No good undeed unpunished. People don't appreciate it. People sometimes misunderstand your intentions and your motives. What do you do then? Is it their reactions to you that keeps you going? Or is it God's love inside that continues to let us love others, even though they may act unlovable? It wasn't that the lawyer didn't know this law. He knew it well. But as Apostle Paul says, it's not that the law is bad. It's just that we have a hard time keeping it. So when Jesus says, you know the law, go and do it, he's like telling this lawyer, well, here is the 10-foot fence, jump it. Of course, it's hard to jump because we human beings are not made to jump 10-foot walls or fences. So Jesus does something that we often do. Just before bedtime, a young child turned to our grandfather and asked, tell me a story. What kind of story would you like to hear? Grandpa says. One with me in it. And so the Good Samaritan story is a story about the lawyer in it. He tells a story that these two scholars, people who should know the law, sees this man and walks right by. But then here's the twist. Here comes this Samaritan with whom he has this great debate, this hatred among the Jewish scholars and Samaritan scholars about how to interpret, especially the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. This man, whom he hates as a theological enemy, he's the one who stops by, loves God, and loves the neighbor as himself, and helps this man. Jesus has the hated Samaritan as the hero of the story. It would be like settlers in the American West telling a story and making the Indian the hero of the story. That never happens. I mean, it would have been better if a good Jewish person had stopped by and helped a wounded Samaritan. Now, that would make them look good. But here is the hated Samaritan stopping by to help a Jewish man when the others who knew the law neglected to do so. But here are two things about Good Samaritan story that we usually miss. First part is that the Samaritan used everything in his resources to help this man. We know that he attended to his wounds. He carried him to a safe place. Not only that, he paid for him to stay there long enough so that he will recover. And that he told him that I will come back and give you more money if you needed it. Because inns in those days, if the customer refused to pay or had no money, you could be sold into slavery. So if the Samaritan had taken the man and put him in the inn and said bye-bye, that man, because he had nothing to his name, would probably have been sold into slavery to pay for his lodging, for his medical treatment. But Samaritan used everything he had so that this man, once healed, would have a chance in life to make something of his life. Secondly, we think that it was okay for the Good Samaritan to go into Jericho. Well, you know, Jericho was a Jewish town. The Good Samaritan was risking his life by taking the wounded Jewish man into a Jewish town. Think about the Old West. Suppose an Indian found a cowboy with two arrows in his back and barely breathing. He puts him on his horse and rides into Fort Dodge. What are people going to think? He goes, puts him into the local clinic, gets a room above the saloon, watches over him throughout the night. Next morning, he comes down and says, I will not care for this man. He might not have left Fort Dodge alive. People will not trust you. You did that. Why did you bring him here? His motivations will be questioned. As we read and hear the Good Samaritan story, I wonder who we are in the story. Where do you see yourself? And I'm sure there are many of us in this place, perhaps, who might think, I am the man who is lying by the side of the road. I feel like life has taken everything from me. Life has beaten me up. Even people I trust have done me wrong. I have nothing. We may feel defeated. But here comes Jesus. So the early church said, Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who comes because he hears our cry for help. Instead of being bound by social conventions of religion or race or what region you're from, here comes Jesus, just because we cry for help. Jesus basically says that the only thing that stops God is our cry for help. God, the master of the universe, hears us and listens to us. I don't know if some of you feel like that this morning, but one thing is sure. God hears you. God knows where you are. God will come to your help, just like a father who wants to ensure that his family is safe, or a mother who wants to make sure that the crying baby is fed and is comforted. God doesn't ask us to be pre-qualified to receive his help. Cry to God if you feel like the man on the side of the road. God will hear you. God will come to your aid. Perhaps when we read this story and hear this story, we feel like this lawyer, because we do look around and there are so much things to do. There seems to be no end to suffering people. So we want Jesus to kind of say, well, here's your corner. You do this. This is your neighbor. Well, in his answer, the lawyer doesn't say who the neighbor is. Jesus, he says, the neighbor is this man who showed mercy. Just think about that. We might say, well, the problem is so big. How can we solve it? Yet if each of us hears the need, sees the need, hears the cry, and shows mercy, what would happen to our world? Wouldn't it change? Wouldn't it be different? For the lawyer, when he said, it is the man who showed mercy that's a neighbor, that opened the door for him. He was no longer bound by his religious conventions of religion or race or where you are from. He now saw that this man is in need, and that I too can help him and love him. Prophet Amos is known as one of the fiery preachers of Old Testament. I was told in seminary, if you want to stay in a church a long time, don't preach on Amos, because he steps on your toes, on our toes. He says, we are called to be God's people, but so often, even as God's people, we forget. An Asiana Airline 214 crashed in San Francisco. The San Francisco Police Department policemen who were working in the airport were one of the first ones to respond. Jim Cunningham was a police officer, and he heard the news, so he saw an ambulance coming. He led him right to the airline. He had just on his police uniform, but he rushed into the airline because he saw people who couldn't get out. He went in, brought people out. He went in again and wanted to make sure that he had lost no one. But then through his radio, he heard that some 45 people had been dead. Someone had made that kind of statement in the radio. So he said he got so disheartened because he was sure that when he went through the burning airline, there was nobody left. Later on, he found that there was a mistaken statement somebody made in the radio. Well, later on, his cell phone rang. He was so busy that one of the paramedics answered his phone, and it was his wife, Roberta, and she was asking what he was doing, and so this paramedic described that her husband was rushing into this burning airline. I guess he got an earful when he got home, because he said, what about your daughter who's 18 months old? Didn't you think about her? People asked him, do you feel like a hero? And he said, I was just doing my job. And I'd want anyone else, if I was stuck in the plane, to do the same for me. Jesus says that this gift of being able to see a person in need as ourselves, that's the road of salvation. That's the road of loving God and loving our neighbor. That's a gift. Because at that point, we have risen beyond what our religion, our race, or our region, or what we believe about what comes afterwards, rewards for good deeds. All those things go out the window. Only thing remains is that I am a God's child, and this person calling for help is my brother and my sister. Our society faces major issues about immigration, undocumented workers, people without health insurance, unable to support their families, gays and lesbians. All these issues take on a different perspective when we see the people and the issue from the eyes of the Good Samaritan. These people are our brothers and sisters. They are us. And if they are us and we are them, we can well imagine how our society will be ordered differently. In this 125th year, I pray that we may be able to go back to the basics of being a Christian, to become neighbors to those in need, in every sense of the word, not just physical and material, but spiritual, emotional, mental, relational, educational. May we follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became the Good Samaritan to each of us, loving each one of us, not because we deserve it, but just because he loves us as children, sons and daughters of God. May we too go and do likewise. The prayer, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. May we have such hearts and go and do likewise, so that we and all those around us may truly live. Thanks be to God for this good news that has come to us through Jesus. Amen.